Heavenly Father, thank you for the word today. May it find lodgment in people's hearts. May we leave this place changed by the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The Weymouth translation says, "Repent therefore, reform your lives, so that the record of your sins may be canceled, that there may come seasons of revival from the Lord." If we're going to achieve in this day and age in which you and I are living in, if we're going to be successful in any area, spiritually or in the natural, it's going to be by the power of God. You know, if you're going to receive any blessings, it has to come through the power of God. You know, we need to get to the point that we realize that we cannot fulfill what God has called us all to do without the power of God. You can't receive the fullness of the blessings of God without the power. Today I see in our world that there's a lot of people that are wanting the blessings, but they are not allowing the power. And there can be no blessings unless you allow the power of God to be involved. You know, I'm convinced that God is ready to do more than we really are looking for right now. You know, I want to ask you some questions. Can God do something in your life today? Can God bring blessings in your life today? Can God manifest His power in our lives today? And of course, we all answer yes to those questions. But the real answer is, it depends on what you really think and what you believe. You see, we have to have our thinking right in order to get our believing right. And there's a little book out there in the bookstore written by my father called Right and Wrong Thinking. How many of you have read it? You need to read it again. Stir yourself up. Now, I want to look at some things today and just talk to the church. In Genesis 26, 18, we're going to read. I don't know whether it's going to be a shouting message. I don't know whether it's going to be a message that you start looking at yourself or what it's going to do. But I know what I have on my heart. "And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names that his father had called him. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water. But the herdsmen of Gear quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and says, 'The water is ours.' So they called the name of the well Eshcol, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well and quarreled over that one also. So he called it Siddim. And he moved from there and dug another well. They did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land.'" Now, there is some significance here that we need to realize. Looking from Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible, he said, "The digging of the wells conferred a sort of ownership on the digger, especially in a country where water was precious. Hence, the envious Philistines were afraid that from a sojourner, he would go to be a settler and acquire the rights to the property." In other words, they were saying, if you dug the well and found the water, then it was tantamount of saying that, hey, this is my property. And, you know, it goes on to say, "Isaac digs again the old wells," this is from Albert Barnes' notes, "and calls them by the old names. And then he because of all of the digging the new wells, he dug the old ones, reopened the old ones, and then dug the new ones. And so now they argue with him about this. Now we got to begin to realize, what does all of that mean for us today? Where does that put us? Well, this is a picture of a believer having to redig or stir up the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Wells here can represent our spirit or our hearts, as we call it. And water, we can let it be a type of the Holy Spirit. See, you can see this when we look and see what John said in John 7:37. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water," out of his spirit. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet taken away out of the earth. He said that if he was when he was taken away, he would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit. Now, look at what I'm saying. If you're going to exist in the natural world, you got to have good wells with good water. Right? Any of y'all tried existing without drinking any water? In fact, physically, if you don't take in water, it will not be very long until you will become dehydrated and actually pass away. That's a medical fact. We cannot live without water. So we have to have a good heart and the power of the Holy Spirit if we're going to live the life that God wants us to live. See, every generation in every person has to attain the power of God for themselves. It can't be handed down. It can't be willed to the next generation like we do in the natural. Each generation and every person has to obtain the power of God in their own personal life. See, Abraham dug those wells. But I want you to notice that Isaac realized, hey, my father dug the wells. And so he went and he redug the wells because that was a good deal. But then he dug new wells. Each generation should take what the other generation had, but then they need to dig new wells for themselves. Thank God for my heritage. Thank God for Kenneth E. Hagin. It's because of him that I am here. But you see, I can't live on his experience. I have to have my own. My son and my daughter, my son-in-law, my grandsons, they can't live on what Poppy had. They can use it to help them to dig their own wells. Come on now. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you? It seems that each person has to take care of their own well. Abraham took care of his wells. You know, life has a way of filling our hearts or our wells with junk. You see, Abraham dug those wells, but then the Philistines came in and they covered it up. Isaac had to redo it. You see, the devil will try to fill your well up with all kinds of fleshly things, things that sometimes that are good, but they keep us from operating in the spiritual power of God like we should be. You see, just because that God has blessed us, we have reached the point that we are in your lives, in our church, family. Thank God for all that. That is great. Thank God for all this redoing of everything. See, we had to redig the well. The old well had got, it was past operating anymore. We had to have new carpet. We had to have new stuff. You see, you have to continually do that in your own life if you're going to maintain the power of God in a continual basis. If we are not careful, we can get a little bit satisfied. So, oh man, this is great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus, wonderful. Amen. And all the while, we're losing power. You know, each person will experience opposition when they are obtaining or trying to operate in spiritual power. Isaac experienced some opposition here, but he didn't let opposition cause him to stop. He dug the well. Okay, I'll go dig another one. He dug that. Okay, y'all want that? I'll go dig another one. See, Satan does not like it when we begin to tap into the spiritual well of the Holy Spirit, because he knows that his time is numbered. There is no way that he can exercise any control over you when your well is operating good. Now, at my house, it was on well water. In fact, that whole neighborhood was on well water. And we're in the city, but that little street there was all. And finally, the city came in and put water. And one guy hooked up, but I didn't go ahead and hook up because we had a really nice well. I mean, it's good water and everything, you know. But you know what? Several years ago, we had an ice storm. And our electricity was out for over a week, I think. In fact, they had to tear down part of my fence and go through my backyard and go back in behind in an easement area between the properties there and put in a new pole and everything because the ice had tore it down. You know what? I didn't have no water. The well was there, but it couldn't operate, because there was no electricity to pump the water to the house. Some of you are sitting there, you got your well, you're born again, you're spirit filled, you got the well, but there ain't nothing happening. Come on now. Oh, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. But you know what? That's not the kind of life that God wants us to live. He wants us to live a life that is full of the power of God every day, every moment, every hour. And that's only done by continuing to keep the well going. Now, you know, we got the electricity back on. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, it wasn't working right. Well, we had to get down in there and get the pumpers down in there, and it had messed up. And it did that two or three times, and I told Annette, I said, hey, let's just keep the well to water the grass with. Let's hook up to the city. Because it's not no fun when you get up in the morning and you want to take a shower and there's no water. I did that in the Army. I didn't like that either. I don't have to do it now. But you know what? There are many people that are spirit-filled. They're sitting in church today, sitting in their homes. They're spirit-filled. But there's nothing going on. The well is not producing. Oh, some of you look at me sort of funny. But I am stirred up about the fact that, hey, listen, in this day and age that we're living in, if we're going to have success and if we're going to make it, it's going to be by the power of God. The enemy is throwing everything he can right now to try to stop Christianity and stop the power of God. You know, spiritual power will enable you to receive all of the blessings of God. It also will enable you to do whatever God has called you to do. You see, he had to have water in order to live. And he redug the wells. We need the Holy Spirit alive and well inside of us if we're going to live the life that God wants us to live. You see, you need to redig or stir up the Holy Spirit. You know, experiencing God's power and blessings today is not up to the preacher. It's not up to the church, collectively. It's up to each individual in the church, collective church, if we're going to have the power of God in operation. Because you bring the power of God in operation when you walk in. You either bring the power of God in operation from your well, and when you all come together, we have a corporate well. But you can come to church and sit there and sing and just be there, but you're not bringing anything to the service. Oh, I got some people looking at me sort of funny. I'm just telling you like it is. People want the move of God, and they say, I heard about, oh man, I want to see the Holy Spirit move. You want to see the Holy Spirit move? Then you bring him with you, stir it up when you come in. And then we'll see the moving of the Spirit. You're not going to see the moving of the Spirit just because Anthony and these guys get up here and sing. You're not going to see it just because I get up here and preach, or Pastor Denise or Lynette or Craig or one of the other ministers minister. You're not going to see it just because of that. You're going to see the move of the Holy Spirit when you bring him alive and well into the building with you. Holy Spirit don't live in this building. He lives in this temple right here. He lives in your temple. And if you want to see the moving of the Spirit of God, you got to stir up this temple right here and bring the power of God in with you. Come on. Oh, well, let's go to church and see what's happening. Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. Nothing. Because if you go to church to see what's going to happen, nothing will happen. But if you come to church with the power of God, say, I'm going to the church to stir up the power of God and see the power of God move, then something will happen. The power of God moves when we move. He doesn't move out here by himself. He lives in you. He moves in you. Come on now. I read an article recently. Some ministers, spirit-filled ministers, were discussing the spiritual condition of the churches in our nation. particularly the Pentecostal or charismatic, whatever you want to call it. They call it Pentecostal and they changed it to charismatic. You never notice how they change the words, you know. It means same thing, just change the word, you know. Used to be the personnel department, now it's the human resource department. Used to be shipping and receiving, now it's the distribution department. Same thing. Charismatic is just a fancy way of saying Pentecostal. And so they were discussing this. And these were the comments that were made. The churches in America are in a spiritual lull. The churches in America are not experiencing revival. The churches in America are not the spiritual hotspots. Basically, what they were saying is that the church in America was lacking in spiritual power. Unfortunately, what they were saying is true. I talked to some of our people that travel around in different churches and so forth, and you can see this. But let me go back here. It says they're in a spiritual law. The reason they're in a spiritual law is because the people sitting on the pew has not stirred up and redug the well and got the anointing flowing. The anointing flows from each individual that's a part of the church, stirring up the gift of God on the inside of them and then coming to church and demonstrating. It can be a shout, it can be a run, but it can be just a simple praise to God. From a sincere heart, not raise your hands because they said raise your hands. Not sing because they said sing. Because you're stirring up the gift of God on inside of you, and you could care less what anybody else says or does. It's just you and God. When you get to that point and stir yourself up where it's just you and God, and you forget about your neighbor, you forget about what this one's going to think about you or what that one's going to say about you, and just start worshiping God and stir up your gift on the inside of you, something begins to happen. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to stir up. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready to stir up? We're not experiencing revival. We're not a spiritual hotspot because the people sitting in the pew is not stirring up the gift of the Holy Spirit. The preacher can't stir it up. He can help, but he can't do it by himself. You know, We have too many people. They're sitting on the pew. Oh, Holy Spirit, move in this place today. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill this place with your atmosphere and make this atmosphere so precious. They said, oh, we're waiting on you, Holy Spirit, to come and move in our midst. And wondering why nothing's happening. That's not the way you get the Holy Spirit to move. You don't wait, you move, you stir up. I'll get there in a minute. I got to go. You know, there are other people sitting on the pew. Other people are sitting there and they're remembering yesteryear. Oh, praise the Lord. Remember the Holy Ghost meetings with Brother Hagin. Wasn't they great? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, they were. I was there. I was part of it. Craig traveled all over the United States with him. It's great. Oh, wouldn't it be great if we had that today? And they tell the stories.
But that's all that ever happens. They just talk about yesteryear while their well is sitting there producing nothing. They want revival. The word revival or revive means to get something going again. The word revival, revive, is used 25 times in the New King James, Old Testament. They are used in reference to the nation of Israel being revived back into a place of prosperity and freedom with God. They're also used in reference to people who needed to be physically and spiritually revived. But what we got to keep in mind is revival to the people in the Old Testament is completely different for us in the New Testament. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit. We are. The New Testament believer seeking to be revived by the power of God is different. We are already alive in Christ. They weren't born again. Their sin was simply covered. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit upon the prophet, the priest, and the king, and that's the only people that had the Holy Spirit upon. See, we got the Holy Spirit in. We're alive already to God. We already have the Holy Spirit power. And according to the context of the words that Peter said there in Acts 3, we are living in the dispensation of God's refreshing revival power. It came when Jesus Christ ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit and moved in the upper room. And we are still living in that same hour. Just because the 28th chapter of Acts is there does not mean that the Acts of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ are not still in operation. It's called the Acts of the Early Church. We are the Acts of the Later Church, the Latter Church. And it says that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. And if we're going to do anything, it's going to be up to us. We're living in the greatest time that we could ever live in. The enemy is throwing everything he can at the church, at the each individual, to destroy them because he knows that his hour is short. We've got to embrace the truth of the fact that God's word tells us what to do. We don't wait on the moving of the Spirit. But we activate or stir it up ourselves. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul told Timothy, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Rekindle the gift of God, Weymouth says. And the English says, fan the flame of God. It's time to fan the flame of God and stir it up. I've used this illustration before, but some of you that are a little more mature like myself, go to your grandpa's house out on the farm, had a big old fireplace in there. And he built a big fire at night before we went in the wintertime, before we went to bed. I mean, he'd put in a bunch of logs. Now, those fireplaces weren't the little ones like we have now. Any of y'all ever been in those farmhouses that got those big old fireplaces? I mean, and you stack them logs in there and you fire when you go to bed. But when you get up in the morning, all of them burn down and there's just some coals in there. But you take that poker, they call it, and you begin to stir it around. You throw a little bit of kindling in there and stir it around, all of a sudden there's a few flames start to burst up. Then you stir it a little bit more, a few, put a little bit bigger kindling in there, and now you got a pretty good fire going. Now you put on big old log. See, that's what we need to do. There's too many of us that we're sitting around. We got the coals. We got the embers down on the inside of us. They're just laying there waiting. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. He waits for you to command him to do something. So begin to stir up that gift down on the inside of you. Stir it up and begin to say, all right, Holy Spirit, I don't know which way to go or what to do, but I'm stirring up the gift, and you lead us, you guide us, you help us, you let the power of God come into our midst. See, we have allowed all kinds of other ideas and things to come in. Oh, if you're going to have church, you got to do it this way. If you're going to have this, you got to do this. The Word of God tells me that if you want to get a crowd, then let the power of God move and it'll come. It doesn't. Thank God for programs, and we need them. I'm not saying anything against programs. We need them. I'm not saying anything against organization. I'm not saying anything against having some rule of policies or order of service. That's what I want, order of service. But when you have an order of service and there's no room in it, everything's timed down to the exact minute, and there's no room in it for the allowing of the Holy Spirit to move, we got a problem. Thank God for order of service, but there need to be, hey, if the Holy Spirit wants to move, we got to stretch this a little bit. We got to change this a little bit. You know, it come down to the point, you got to preach a certain, you know, back a few years ago, everybody thought you had to preach an hour. Well, sometimes that's too long. Now they think you got to preach 30 minutes, and that's probably too short, maybe too short. I tell my students in the classroom when I'm teaching them about in traveling ministers, effective pastors, I say, you preach to the anointing of the power of God's moving or ready to move, and then shut up. Whether that's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. You probably notice I don't preach very long usually. I'm preaching a little longer than normal this morning. But I want to tell you what, I am stirred up about the fact that we need to get ourselves stirred up with the Holy Ghost. We need to get stirred up with the power of God. There's not going to be a move until we stir ourselves up. That's when the power of God will begin to move. When we're stirred up. When the music people are stirred up. Not just going by some little, okay, this is our song set. Throw your song set out. Start out singing and then go from there. Now we got to have some kind of order, right? But, you know, used to, man, in days gone by, the guys started out, we start out singing, and then we didn't know where we was going from there. Hello? Nowadays, if they don't have the chords to go to, they can't even play. Get my wife up there. She can play it. She plays it all. She, the old time pianist, and she's a good one. They played the bass and everything, because we didn't have nothing but the piano. We didn't have no drums. We had no bass guitar, nothing. Hello now. There used to be an old guy over in Wiley, Texas, at the First Assembly in Wiley. He led the music with his trombone. He'd start singing, then he'd start playing that trombone. Remember? Excuse me. But I want to tell you what. Something was starting happening because he forgot. I mean, sometimes he'd forget he's even leading the music. He'd just get to worshiping God himself. But you know what? He stirred up the gift. When he stirred up the gift inside of him, it slopped over on everybody else, and they all got stirred up. You want something to happen? Get stir yourself up. Let it slop over on somebody else next door to you, and they'll get stirred up too. We need to have a stirring up service where we stir ourselves up. Don't allow ideas. Thank God for all the programs and the ideas. We need to have some of that. But sometimes we just need to clean all that out and say, all right, God, here we go. I mean, I got some semblance of some notes up here, but you can tell I haven't followed them that close. You're going to have to clean out the wells of your thinking. What I mean by that? Thinking this is the way it's got to be done. We come to church so many times thinking, okay, this is the way it's got to be. No, we need to come to church thinking, all right, Holy Spirit, whatever you want. I'm ready and available. You know, that's why I've been encouraging you to lay hands on people and pray for them yourself out there rather than us having a healing line. Because that's what the Bible says. See, that's what we need to do. Stir ourselves up so we lay our, you can, said believers lay hands on the sick. Not the preacher, believers. But you can't do that if you're not stirred up. Oh, I don't know whether I can do that or not. We went in a crusade somewhere a few years back, and I got the healing line down there, and I turned around and said, okay, Anthony, you go pray for the sick. Where is Anthony at? He's back here somewhere. Where are you at, Anthony? Oh, right behind me, okay. They're waiting for me. Didn't I tell you go pray for the sick? And he said, he told me later, he said, oh my Lord. But he went out and did it. He stirred up the gift on the inside of him. People got healed. See, I'm talking about changing our thinking. We thinking that it's got to be this way. It's got to be this person. It's got to be somebody that's anointed with. And there are special gifts of healings that we can be anointed with. And me and Craig, I know we're that. But anybody can pray for the sick. We need to get to that point. We need to get to that point that, hey, I can do this. Stir up the gift on the inside of you. Come to church, stirred up, ready to move with the power of God. Clean out your well of thinking. It's got to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. It has to be God's way. When you go in, how many guys have been in the Army? I know a lot of you have been in others, but just the Army, specifically the Army. One of the first things, I went to Fort Linderwood, Missouri for basic training, and one of the first things they said, we got in there and got us off the bus, and they're yelling and they're screaming at you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the first thing they said to us the next morning, after they had told us to go to bed, and then 30 minutes later they got us up and we was up the rest of the night. And the first thing they said, there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Army way. And as long as you're in the Army, we do it the Army way. There's the right way, the wrong way, and there's God's way. And if you want the moving of the power of God, you got to do it God's way. You got to do it in line with God's word. I want us to get to the point that every time we come into this building, we come in stirred up with the Holy Ghost. Stirred up with the power of God. Come in here ready to move with the anointing and the power of God. Everybody stand up. I preached long enough. Anybody get anything out of this today? Anybody understand what I'm trying to say to you today? I'm trying to say to you, people are wanting the move of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and the only way we're going to have a move of the Spirit and the power of God is for us to stir our own selves up and come in here and bring the power of God in here with us. Hallelujah. You got something you want to sing, Anthony?
Stirring up deep, deep wells. Stirring up deep, deep water. We're going to dance in the river. Dance.
Say, stir it up. Hallelujah.